In your notes, it says the title of the lesson tonight, Commitment of Your Personal Time on Your Work, on Your Job, on Your Work. Okay? One of the first few Chinese idioms, Brother Ming Fai is not here tonight. He's teaching the Chinese group a very interesting series relating the book of Genesis to Chinese characters. Later on, during the afternoon service, I think beginning of next year, he'll be teaching that same series in English in the afternoon service. Right, so hope you'll look forward to that. One of the first few Chinese idioms that I learned as a young boy makes a comparison between the value of gold and time. Okay, some of you might know which one I'm talking about. Simply put, the idiom describes how it is impossible to purchase time using gold. Okay, when you say, she suddenly recalled already. Alright? And what the idiom is saying is that you cannot turn back the clock. Basically, that's just that, you cannot turn back the clock. And indeed, time is precious, especially your personal time. Other people's time is okay, right? But your own time is very precious. You can waste other people's time. And so it behoves us to use our own time wisely, right? No one can turn back the clock, and time used or wasted can never again be reused. After I stepped out into the society to work, which was in 1995, I came up with a variation to that same Chinese idiom. It is still about gold and time, but instead of using gold to buy time, I switched the elements around to describe what so many working people are doing today, and that is using time to buy gold. Using time to buy gold. Let me explain. Many are devoting long working hours each day to make a living, especially in Singapore. Right? Others have taken on at least one other job to bring home additional pay. And one other additional job means more time. Right? So I, for one, had made use of my time this way on three different occasions to take up an additional job to bring home additional pay. And through years of my working life, I learned this simple theory. There is no free lunch. There is no free lunch. If you want a higher salary, if you want more pay, you can expect your employer to demand more of your time. Right? That is what I found out. Your employer will definitely ask you to stay later, do more things, give you more project, and even give you other colleagues' project. Right? That is very usual. So many people, you know, I notice many people like to compare salaries. You know, how much are you getting? How much is the company paying you? Things like that. But I wonder if they ever consider the additional time they have to put into their job in order to earn that extra pay. Now that is something that they don't ask. Hey, how long, what time do you knock off? No. You might get an extra pay, but how late do you have to stay in the office? That is a question that we fail to ask. Secular employment make up a large portion of almost every Christian adult's life, isn't it? Every Christian adult's life. Since we have been told to redeem our time, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Circumspectly, the word circumspectly means walk carefully, with your eyes open, very cautiously. Not as fools, but as wise. Paul is very straightforward here. saying, walk wisely, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That means we are to make good use of our time. So let us take a close look at how we spend our personal time on our job. Right, that is what this lesson is about. And before I go on further, I would need to have several disclaimers. Okay? Number one, I'm not talking about you. I'm not pinpointing at you. Right? Because we are all in the same boat. If we're in Singapore, we're facing the same working situation, long hours, demanding boss, we're all in the same boat. But I'm not directly pointing at you. I'm not trying to sell you my lifestyle. Okay? I'm not saying that you're wrong, I'm right. No. Alright? All these things, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to help, maybe to encourage you to evaluate the way you use your time on your job. Later on, I'll bring forth another lesson using your time on your leisure time. Right? So let's look at it. First of all, I want to share with you what I see as the norm. What I see as the norm. In Singapore and many other countries, you hear this being said often amongst working people. Now that I'm young, I want to work very hard and earn as much as I can. Otherwise, where got enough to spend? Right? Very common. Well, you're right. The older folks are saying that too. And what does that tell you? You will not have enough to spend whether you're young or older. Right? The younger ones are saying that, but the older ones are still saying that. So, what does that tell you? It tells you that money never seems to be enough. You will never have enough. Hence, the norm in our society today is that of committing one's whole life to one's job. Not just your younger life. It's your whole life to job. Because you will never have enough. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it is wrong to work. I'm not saying that it is wrong to work hard. I'm not saying that it is wrong to build your career. These are all rightful things to do. In fact, if you do it right, you can even be of a good testimony to your colleagues, to your boss. In fact, the Bible says that it is wrong not to work. It is wrong for you to not work and provide for those who depend on you for a living. Right, I have six. Right, under my care. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Alright? However, a word of caution. What normally began as a need to provide eventually becomes a want to possess. What normally began as a need to provide becomes a want to possess. Many Singaporean couples have joined the DINK group. D-I-N-K. You know what that is? Dual income, no kids. Dual income, no kids. And why? Why did they choose this group? Because they want to have more money to spend on themselves. No kids, ma? Right? So all on themselves and have an earlier retirement. Because they can accumulate, earn, and then have an earlier retirement. And not just to be able to quit their job earlier in order to be able to retire earlier, as one couple said, to have $6,000 per month to spend during their retirement. $6,000. Then that means it's not just a retirement and you know like April's folks, you know, after you retire you have to be so careful, you know, maybe grow your own vegetable, not for health reason, maybe rear a few chicken even in the kitchen for that reason, you know, after you retire you are worse off than when you're working. So these people, they have thought through, no, I'm not going to retire that way, I'm going to retire in a very comfortably with style. No, that's right, with style, you know, with more style than even before, to have $6,000 every month to spend on that kind of retirement plan. And maybe that is why my neighborhood coffee shop uncle always think that I'm a very rich man. You know, it's easy to think, you know, if a couple with one child and have a combined salary of $4,000 and they barely scrape through, and I have five, right? Of course I don't have five wives, but I have five children, so you just cannot just times five, maybe you times 2.5, so this guy must be earning $10,000 per month at least. Sorry, I hope, but no, not the case. But that is the norm. That's what I'm telling you. This is the norm. However, as fallen sinners, that's what we all are. Men and women are incapable of managing wealth and success and handling spending power. Do you remember the first paycheck that you got and what did you spend it on? Probably something useless. Probably something that you have always wanted but in the end turned out to be not that great. And Christians are the same. Our Lord Jesus warns us in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, and notice the words that he used. Take heed. Take heed, listen up. And beware, watch out, of covetousness. Covetousness. The desire to want things. For a man's life consisteth not in, that means the chief element in a man's life is not the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The Lord is telling us, life is not built on the things that you have. Right? The things you have is not the main ingredient of your life. But we all are in the high risk category, and that's why the Lord warns us. We are all in the high risk category of trying to find satisfaction and a sense of sufficiency in the stuff that we have. If we have it, I'll be happier. My life will be more complete if I have it. We like to think that way. If we don't have it, then something is missing. I just cannot do this, cannot do that. And when we begin to think that way, the line between needs and wants become very unclear. And we will try to convince ourselves of the need to possess more. And that's how a need to provide becomes a want to possess. Because you keep telling yourself, I need this, I need that. Which actually you want it and you want that. So do you see how easily we can swerve to focus on the material things of this world, which in the greater perspective of life and eternity actually means little? The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah says in chapter 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet we are always being deceived. You need it. You deserve it. That's what the advertisement keep telling you. You deserve it. You earn it. Right? You deserve better. And that is what the world lives for. That is the norm. Secondly, I will ask the question, how about you? If that's the norm, how about you? We need to ask ourselves this question, how about me? Regarding the use of our personal time, because the Chinese idiom that I learned long ago still holds today. That's why Wen Yi knows it still. right, it still holds true today. As I mentioned earlier, there is no free lunch, and the extra hours you put into earning more so that you might have more can never be recycled for other use. Can never be recycled for other use. And if you're not careful, the accumulation of more and better things will cause you to have to spend even more time at work to earn more. It is a vicious cycle. Expensive repayment for housing loan, vehicle loan, renovation loan, credit card payment are just examples which have bound so many people to a vicious cycle of committing longer hours at work so as to possess supposedly better things in life. You cannot get out of it. I remember when I was still in the Air Force, I had this colleague, same age as me, had a child. And then, after a while, the wife wanted to quit. The wife was a teacher. The wife wanted to quit to stay at home to look after the son. But my colleague, the husband, told her, "You cannot quit." Why? Because they have just bought a house. They have bought a car. He told her, "We need two income to support all these things." And that is what I mean here. You think just getting more and that's it, you're free to enjoy? No, it's normally not the case. When you got more, you need to pump in more time to earn more, to support that more. And then you want more, and then you keep going and going, it just won't end. Now, I'm not here to pass judgment, as I said, on anyone. I'm not here to judge people with cars because I don't have, people with bigger handphone. Now, is it the bigger or the smaller? You don't know. Yeah, I'd rather remind all of us what Timothy wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich, not will be rich by destination, by God's will. But they that will be rich, meaning they that want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, that means hurtful wants and hurtful desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Paul's warning is very simple and very direct. Christian men and women who purpose in their mind or are ambitiously driven to be rich, that's what Paul is saying here, will be rich, they will fail spiritually. That is what Paul is saying here. And that is like, that is the biblical fact. That is the biblical fact that Paul is saying here. The ambition, the drive that if a Christian will pump in to constantly to accumulate more wealth instead of seeking the things of God, he will fail spiritually. God, his word, the church, and Christian fellowship will be sacrificed at the expense of work, career, financial wealth, and success. That's why he will fail spiritually. And is this what you want to see happen in your life? That is my question to you. Is this what you want to see happen in your life? Failing spiritually. I say again, the problem we all face is not wealth. It's not having much. The issue here is our heart commitment. That's what this series is about. We're looking at the heart. Jesus has said, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And yet, many Christians today try to do this. Serving God and mammon. They will tell you it can be done. The pastor preached to them, "It can be done. See, I did it. So you can do it too." Well, the Lord said so clearly, you cannot serve God and mammon. Abraham and Job, They were both men who had much, a lot, but they committed all they possessed to the rightful owner. That was how their heart was. They committed all that they possessed to their rightful owner, which is God. Abraham was willing to give up everything, including his precious son Isaac, because he viewed himself as possessing nothing, but a steward of all that good God has put under his care. Likewise, Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Had Abraham refused to give up his son, or Job decided to listen to his wife and to curse God and die, the account of these two men would have had a very different ending. But they put God first, and therefore they were of great spiritual use to God. A life that is given to acquiring wealth and success, on the other hand, will be spiritually poor and of no eternity value, because the emphasis is always on self, not God. It's always on self. Remember the parable of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21? The story goes that the farmer had a very plentiful harvest, so much that he ran out of room to store his crops. So he decided to pull down his barns and build new ones, new and bigger ones, to solve the problem. Now, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that was a wise move, right? To tear down and then to build bigger storage to store his bountiful increase. And his plan to put them aside for later use, that is perfectly wise, right? And those harvests were the rewards of his labor. So he deserved it, truly he deserved it, right? He worked hard, he got it. But then he boasted to himself. In verse 19, he said, "And I say to my soul," that means I say to myself. Maybe he looked at the mirror and he said to himself, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Basically what he's saying is that, "Man, I have so much to last through many years of my life. I need to enjoy. I need to retire right now. I need to eat, drink, and be merry." Yet, that night, according to the Bible, that night God took his life and said to him, notice what God called him, "Thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Now this verse is not telling us that rich man will die, or God will curse rich people and die. No. That's not what this verse is saying. Alright? The lesson here is very clear. No one will be able to take his wealth along with him when he dies. No one. Right? We'll all leave behind. And if the riches and plenty that he has or you have in this life on earth is the only wealth that you have, then you are indeed, and he is indeed, a fool. And a very pathetic one, because he will soon lose it all. And that's what many people are doing today. Accumulating wealth. And that wealth that they have accumulated is the only wealth that they have. And once they die, they leave behind all, and they have nothing waiting for them in heaven. And if they are not a Christian, then we know where they will go. But if they are a Christian, then that is also equally pathetic. Because when they go to heaven, as we learn from pastors preaching in the book of Revelation, they will not receive any crowns. They have not received any reward, because they have always been busy accumulating wealth. For a child of God to hold dearly onto the perishable things of this world, like I said, that is even worse, because as Jesus said in verse 21, he layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's not rich toward God. He might be a rich man on earth, but he's not rich toward God. Our God told us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 20 to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven instead, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That is where our focus ought to be, in heaven. God is opposed to those who are set on getting rich and having more as their overriding goal in life, such that they become no use to Him. So, what about you? What about you? What have you been spending your time on? How have you been treating your work as? You know, to accumulate more and more, and then you end up having to take up another job or pump in more time in order to earn more. What can I do to focus more on things that matter for eternity? How can I lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth? I'm really glad if you asked. You know, Pastor like to say, I'm glad that you asked, but most of the time we didn't ask. But I'm really glad if you asked these two questions. What can I do to focus more on things that matter for eternity? How can I lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth? That comes to our last point. What can I do? What can I do? You must have heard that the grass is always greener on the other side. And maybe you have heard also the myth of the greener pastures. That means the grass is not always greener on the other side. If having more, the latest, the newest, and the best is always the main thing in your mind, you can be sure to spend more time at work so as to adequately finance your selfish lifestyle. You know, if I want this, I have to earn enough to pay for it. You know, we are logical human beings. And in order to earn enough to pay for it, I have to either spend more hours, take up another job, and all that. We know how to calculate. These are very easy sums, right? And why I say that it is a very selfish lifestyle? Because it is all about you, yours, and your way. It's all about you. I want it. I need it. If your heart is rather challenging you to commit your personal time to the Lord so that God can use you for His honor and glory, then perhaps you can ask yourself some questions. I put them down in your notes. Number one, how much time do I spend at work? And why do I spend my time that way? In my 7 years in the Air Force, I won't say every day because there's sometimes there's overtime and things like that, but I always leave before my boss. I always leave at 5:30. I always walk past my boss's office with him still inside. 7 years, I always did that. Because someone told me before, if you have no work to do, go home, don't pretend. So, I thought, I'm not good in pretending, and I'd rather go home to be with my wife and kids. So, I went home, and I did that for 7 years. And I was never fired. So, how much time do you spend at work? Why do you spend so much time at work? Is there really things to do? Second question, can I spend less time at work? Can I spend less time at work? Number three, are there better ways in which I can use my time? Okay? Rather than being so consumed with my job, can some or more of my personal time be spent with my family, my church, and to do the work of the Lord? Think about that. I also remember that in whichever church I was in the 7 years, and subsequently in my other job, I always commit myself to come to prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I was never hindered. So, I always believe that if you set your mind to do it, to honor God, God will honor your choice. And He will make it. He'll do it for you. I know of a man, an American. He's of my age, but he's a high flyer. He works for John Deere, and he's one of the top manager in the company. He takes care of businesses in China, in the US, in everywhere that you can know of. And when he was here in Singapore for 3 years, he flew around almost every week. But being a manager, he was able to time to plan his schedule, and that's the plus point about being a manager and a normal staff. But he would always plan his trip on weekdays. Why? So that he can be in church on weekends. So that he can teach Sunday school, and that's what he did for 3 years in Singapore. He did that. Okay. And if we talk about, no, I do not have the time, then how about him? He's a top manager in a huge company. He can do it. And he planned it that way. And God honor his choice. Number four, can I or would I be willing to do with less? Now this is the critical one. This is the one that really step on your toe. This is the one that really split hairs, you know. Can I or be would I be willing to do with less? Now, I'm not trying to equate a frugal life with spirituality. Are people trying to tell me that my sandals cost only 3 ringgit? and trying to impress me that because he spend less, he's more spiritually mature and whatever the case. No, I'm not trying to equate being frugal with being spiritual. No, that doesn't make sense. But if you're ready to live with less, okay, if you're ready to live with less, then it is likely that you would be able to free up some personal time. I'm not saying that it definitely will, right? It all depends on case by case, your boss, your job and all that. But I'm saying that if you're ready to live with less, then maybe you're ready to change your job. Maybe you're ready to take the risk and leave at 5:30 like I did. Maybe, just maybe, you will be able to free up some personal time for other more important things in life. That's what I'm saying. I want to let you know that there are better ways to make use of your time. There are better ways to make use of your time, and that is to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You can commit your personal time to worthy spiritual goals such as strengthening family bonds, having and playing a part in the church, bringing in the fish, and being a blessing to others. You can do all that. I mentioned that on 3 different occasions, I took up an additional job, an extra job to bring in the additional income. I gave up my extra job on these 3 different occasions after spending 1 year each in each job. I think 2 were tuition job, 1 was being a proctor, invigilator. And each part-time job did its part to help me tide over the tight financial situation that I was in. Of course, I would have continued. I could have continued in those jobs, especially for the reason that they were a good source of extra income. However, I told myself in April too, I didn't tell the children, that we will do with less. That we will do with less and trust God to provide for all our needs. And we're still around. We're still surviving. And not just surviving, we're doing good. So rather than centering our thoughts, our energy and time on earning more so that we may have more, we decided that family and church must come first. So for most of us, our work or job is a means to an end. Our work is a means to an end. If you are not a Christian and this life is the only one that you have knowledge on, then the end is likely the possession and consumption of all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which is not of the Father but is of this world. This is the end that non-Christians, non-believer naturally will go for. But as I mentioned, sad to say, a lot of Christians go for this end as well. If you are a child of God and just a passing through this world with treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue, as from the lyrics, "This world is not my home," then the end, the means to an end, the end is probably the provision of necessities and maybe occasionally some wants in life. And I would expect you to look forward to your home in heaven and can't feel at home in this world anymore. However, the fact of the matter is that it is easier to sing than to live it out. It is easier to sing than to put the lyrics into real life practice. So, as a fact, many material things which were normally viewed as wants have been justified and moved to the needs category. The line is blurred and our focus is shifted. That is the norm. That is what's happening today. And it might be happening in your life too. So if you're not careful, our work or our job can become our life. Church, the things of God, becomes extracurricular activities. They have become the side dish. And we don't want that to happen. Because the Lord says it is folly. It is folly to lay up treasure in this life where we ought to be rich towards God. So, let us evaluate the use of our personal time. Let us think through how we've been using our time in our work. Those questions that I've listed out for you, think through. Think through, use them to evaluate your own personal time. Work we must, but we must not make wealth and success our goals in life. All right? Let's